This is the Covenant Eyes Podcast.
You take away my mobile phone, you'll take away a part of me.
Today on the Covenant Eyes Podcast, we will be speaking with the Chief Technology Officer for the state of Michigan, Dan Lohrman. After getting a degree in computer science from Johns Hopkins University, he started his career in the National Security Agency and later worked for Lockheed Martin in England. Dan eventually became the first Chief Information Security Officer for the state of Michigan. He has been called an IT visionary by Security Magazine and was named the Chief Security Officer of the Year by ST Magazine. He was also named one of the Government Magazine's Public Officials of the Year. Dan is also the author of the new book, Virtual Integrity, a book about bringing real-world values back to surfing the web and avoiding internet temptations. Learn more about the concept of integrity theft today from Dan Lohrman on the Covenant Eyes Podcast.
You know, everyone is kind of familiar with, you know, the term identity theft, and integrity theft is similar, but rather than your money, you know, or your personal information being at risk from unseen hackers or others that are trying to steal your sensitive information, integrity theft really is looking at your reputation, your career, your important relationships, your integrity that is threatened by online temptations to do wrong. And I created the concept, you know, it's you know, because it's so much press out there around identity theft. Right. And so it's like a brother, you know, to identity theft.
Sure.
I've seen, you know, and it certainly is it's very, you know, horrible if somebody loses their identity or, you know, somebody makes an unauthorized charge on their credit card or, you know, gets your social security number and opens a credit account in your name, and people even buy, you know, houses in other people's names. It's horrible. But what happens much more often is people are, you know, as we surf in the net, we're intrigued by different images, videos, other content, advice for our thoughts and our dreams, for our time, for our money. You know, we go online thinking we're going to do one thing, and all of a sudden we're tempted. We go somewhere else. 5 minutes later, we're somewhere else on the internet. That can be sometimes a good thing, but oftentimes it's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah. As that happens, you know, we act against our values and beliefs. We were tempted in the sin, if you want to call it tempting the click. But, you know, as people, you know, go on the web, a lot of times they're led down into the dark side of the net. And they, you know, they end up somewhere where they didn't really intend to, maybe originally.
Sure.
Web page designers are very, very good at this, at tempting people to go places. Your eyes are drawn to things, and you end up somewhere, you know, you never intended 5, 10, 15 minutes earlier.
Can you just mention some of those? Just what are some of those issues that people run into? Obviously, you've already mentioned perhaps tempting images, things like pornography, cyber sex kind of things. What other temptations do people face on the internet?
Well, sure. I think, you know, if you think of as a Christian or even others who want to surf your values, who might be listening, it can be, you know, any of the things that are the same Ten Commandments in the Bible, but, you know, lying, cheating, stealing, lust. People don't call it that online. They rename things. Oftentimes, you know, rather than, you know, saying we're, you know, plagiarizing text, we say we're copying files. Rather than saying we're stealing music or stealing videos, we're just downloading files. Or, you
right.
know, we're not lying, we're protecting ourselves. So we say we're someone else. We say we're a different age maybe than we really are. And we do that to, quote unquote, protect ourselves. But,
sure.
You know, online, there's so many different aspects that allow that. There's contributing factors that allow people to be anonymous, to have multiple identities or false identities. And again, you know, I think I want to be real clear to your listeners. I'm pro internet. I'm, you know, e-government is huge. It's my job. Technology is very important. and it's part of our lives, 7x24x365. I'm not for turning off the internet, not using it at all,
sure.
But it's using it in effective ways. And just as there are many great, wonderful things you can do online, whether it be shopping or whatever, there's many, many ways that people can use anonymity for evil, and they can use it, you know, become addicted to porn, they can become addicted to just it could be gambling, it could be relationships that really are inappropriate. Maybe they're married and they're involved in relationships online, pretending to be somebody else. Again, you can, not saying that all, online dating is wrong, because sometimes, people are found, a life partner that way. But again, those things can be used for good or can be used for evil. And there are lots and lots of stories that I talk about in the book of people at home, at work, who have ruined their careers, their family, their relationships by getting involved in these kinds of things online.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I actually met my wife on eHarmony.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
But at the same time, you're right. There is an anonymity to the internet, to using the internet. You can be someone else. And I think that is where that word integrity comes in, that integrity meaning that you're the same person one place as you are the next, that you're not living a double life. And I think that's a lot of what comes out in your book there. You're talking about how people can have their, quote, real lives where they live by a certain set of values, and then they have their online lives where they seem to discard a lot of those values and live by a totally different code of ethics, or no ethics at all. They just do whatever they want. And you're right, people do just sort of relabel their experiences online to make it seem a little more acceptable morally or ethically. And I find this concept of surf your values really interesting. Where'd you get this phrase, surf your values?
Well, I have to honestly say, it just, as I researched this topic, it was surfing the internet. Everyone's talking about surfing, and there's so much talk around security and privacy. And the more I realized, as I looked into this, and I've been in this business for 24 years since I started NSA in 85, I realized that, really, if we're going to build trust online, that Microsoft calls it end-to-end trust, and how do you do that, is that it really gets down to, as Christians, and even others, if you're not a Christian and listening, I want to be able to have my values respected online, and so for me, I coined the phrase, really. I just kind of made it up, but I mean, it just represents what I think we really need to head towards online as far as the experience people have, and there's certain expectations that people have. I give real life example. You go to the mall with your kids. I have a 4 and a 6 year old. I have 4 kids, but 4 children, 4 and a 6 year old, a daughter and a son. And if I take them to the mall and I take them to the Disney store, there's a certain kind of experience I'm looking to have there, and I'm certain things I don't want to have happen there, right? And those are the values I expect to see. If you go to Disney World or to the Disney store, or, and then if you go online and, and you do the same kind of a thing, you're expecting to see that kind of experience. As Christians, we have certain kind of values that we want to uphold. We believe in beliefs and we want to have those experiences respected online. So the places we go, the kinds of, there's an anticipation, just like in real life, that when you walk up to somebody and say, hi, how you doing, what's your name, that they're going to give you your real name.
Right.
It's a challenge to do that online. It's a real challenge. And so the best way I knew how to describe where we need to be going with the internet, and as Christians, what we need to be doing now and how do we do it now, is by surfing our values.
That's great. And then you also mentioned this other phrase, 7 habits of virtual integrity. Could you just kind of walk us through some of these 7 values here, these 7 habits of virtual integrity? Yeah.
Well, Luke, it's so often before, kind of as a preface to it, so often people think that, give me a quick fix, whether it's a diet pill, or so, I don't want to exercise, I just want to take this pill and lose weight, or I don't want to eat right, I want to just, do X, Y, and Z. Give me a quick fix. And there's certainly a lot of great advice out there, a lot of tips out there. around how to, you know, surf the internet safely. But technology is actually, you know, the fourth step in of the seven. You really got to start with what I call the first habit is refreshing your values in cyberspace. And so that's really what we've been talking about, which is, you know, what do I believe? What is my code of ethics, my conduct, you know, what is right and what is wrong, and what is my worldview as a Christian? Do I have a Christian worldview, or, you know, what do I believe, you know, and saying, okay, that's my you know, real life, or my now how do I apply that to my online life? So, you know, refreshing your values like you refresh a computer screen is really kind of saying, okay, what do I believe in the real world? You know, how do I apply that to my online life? And really kind of walking through that in the book. I've spent two chapters on these seven habits and walk through the details of how you do that. But really the step is just saying matching my online life with my real world values. And then step two is what I call pledging personal online integrity. And so that's really saying, okay, now I know this is what you know, I believe it's the Ten Commandments. It's my code of conduct. It's my ethics and values. Now you're really kind of making a pledge, just like we do with the New Year's resolution, or what we do with our, you know, we do this all the time. I do, certainly, you know, I'm gonna be on a diet. I'm gonna eat certain kinds of foods. I'm gonna exercise every day. You know, we do this in our lives in many, many areas. We don't necessarily always do that with our online life, right?
Yeah.
So saying, you know, this is what I'm, you know, going to do. This is what I'm not going to do. There are great pledges. I give examples of them online for kids, you know, all different ages, whether you're a teenager, whether you're a kid, a child, whether, you know, and the younger you are, the more explicit they are. I'm going to go to these sites, but not these sites. Maybe I'm going to have my PC in a common area in my house. You know, different types of things you can do at different age groups. I'm going to tell the truth. But the older you are, and if you're an adult, it's a broader kind of pledge. You know, for me, it's the same pledge that the pledge in the Bible, that, you know, I make a covenant with my eyes not to, you know, to just like your name of your company, Covenant Eyes. I'm going to surf with integrity, you know, and,
sure.
So making and then making your pledge known. Step three, habit number three, is really what I call seek trusted accountability. And what that really entails is, you know, now, okay, now this is what my pledge is, what I'm going to do. Now I'm going to have other people hold me accountable to that. And so, you know, it's again, whether it's your spouse, whether you're a friend, if you're a man, if it's another, you know, men's group or a women's group at your church or whatever it might be, but it's others who are going to hold you to that. A real world example I found of intriguing is in dieting. They found that, you know, Weight Watchers, people who are in Weight Watchers, often more effective because they know others are holding them accountable, and they
sure.
have to get on that scale, right?
Right.
And people see, you know, what did you lose your weight? Did you follow? But holding each other accountable is really important in every area of life. I know people may cringe at that, you know, being held accountable. But just like you do with your company and Covenant Eyes, I think it's a great way that we can grow and actually not be tempted as much. But it's also a way that as we look at our lives, whatever we want to be good at, whether you're at work, you want to, you know, really improve in your skills, you get a mentor. Whether you're in sports,
right.
you have a coach. In whatever area you want to grow in, you have accountability. And accountability in our internet life is very, very important.
Hmm. This is so interesting because I think a lot of people do that. They will look for the quick fix in some form of technology, and obviously technology can be very helpful, but they don't lay these foundational habits first, and they expect the technology to sort of more or less do the work for them, and then they get frustrated when their results aren't what they expect. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, Luke. You know, I've seen that so many times. People, I can't tell you, and it's not just within the area of internet surfing, but in technology in general. You give me almost any security or privacy or technical problems people are having, and I'll give you a fix. But what I see day in, day out at work, I see it at home. You know, all these things involve people, process, and technology, and I talk about that a lot in the book.
Yeah.
You know, it really, there are people issues, there are habits, there are heart issues, all this gets back to our heart, you know, our desires, the process things. Can you keep it going? Is it, okay, I did it great. I did it once. I did it twice. You know, can you keep it going over a period of time? Is it something that's part of your life? Maybe you've been successful. You say, well, I don't have a problem in this area for a week or two or a month, or but then, you know, it becomes a problem again. Hmm. And so often I see people have the right tools, but they don't keep it going, and they don't apply it in a way that is. I mean, so many people have filters at home, and I applaud your Covenant Eyes tool because I think it's easy to use and it's very effective in ways that others are not. But I've seen people with a lot of other filters and different other types of tools at home, and they simply don't use them. And if they do use them, who has the password? Can they go around it? Can they turn it off?
Right.
Can they go to a different computer? Can they go to the library? You know, they do different things, and they may have technology that would help, but they don't use it in a way that's effective.
You've been listening to Dan Lohrman talk about surfing your values from his book, Virtual Integrity. You can learn more at virtualintegritybook.com. Tune in next time for part two of this interview, when Dan will discuss the last four habits of virtual integrity. This is your host, Luke Gilkerson, and you've been listening to the Covenant Eyes Podcast.